So what did we learn last time? What did we learn last time? What did we reflect on last time? The cookies are holding a better preference than the 150%. No, I got it. Thank you. Yes, so we went through last time on how Jesus enters Jerusalem, how he cleanses the temple. Today we are going to touch upon a very interesting topic, a very important topic, and a very relevant topic to our day-to-day lives at this very moment. The story of the fig tree. I would like somebody to read it. The story of the fig tree, Matthew 21, 18.
While returning to the city eagerly in the morning, Jesus felt hungry. He noticed a fig tree by the road, went up to it and found nothing on it but leaves. Then he said to the tree, "Never again bear fruit," and immediately the fig tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were astonished and said, "How did the fig tree suddenly dry up?" Jesus told them, "Truly I say to you, if you had faith and did not doubt, not only could you do what I have done with the fig tree, but you could even say to that mountain, 'Go and throw yourself into the sea,' and it would be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer, full of faith, you will receive."
That's it. Now let's go to Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14. The same story, with one difference.
On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold those who bought in the temple.
That's enough.
Sorry.
Now you go to verse 20.
Same Mark.
Yes.
As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots.
That's enough. Okay, now what is the difference between Matthew and Mark? The same parable, but what is the difference? There is one difference in it between Matthew and the narration of Matthew and the narration of Mark.
In Matthew, the cleansing of the temple is done before...
No, this is the fig tree.
Before the fig tree is cursed, the cleansing of the temple is done. Here, while going to the temple, Jesus curses the fig tree and then enters the temple.
Yeah, that is one. But concerning the fig tree as such,
then the explanation is suddenly it dries up. Here they see the next morning.
Correct. In Matthew it says the tree withered immediately.
Yeah.
In Mark it says when the next day they were traveling, it withered. Now why is this difference? This thing, anything. I mean,
eyes of faith.
Eyes of faith, yes. But you know, when Matthew says immediately, Mark says.
Because Jesus said
they did not notice it.
Jesus said,
I have a mind of like Helen, not like that. but I go to that, I like to imagine things and like that. I'm just coming to her mind, her level of understanding. It's a huge crowd, no? That brought Hosanna, came huge and up. Matthew must have been right in front to see, it withered. Mark must have been not noticed, withered, he went. Next day, when he's coming, again they are noticing, because it's the same road to go. Okay, that way of imagination, I'm going to her, but I'm not explaining or what I want to speak. I think about these two disciples. But whereas the writing goes here, yeah, first the cursing of the fig tree happens, then Jesus goes, according to Mark, to the temple. Okay, and then from there it is that cleansing is happening, he is healing, then he goes to Bethany. Next day he sees, according to Mark, okay, the cleansing is sandwiched between the fig trees. And here in Matthew, first cleansing and then coming of the fig tree, you know. So it depends on how your level of understanding now.
Now these can be taken in various views, you know, there is not a hard and fast rule or something like that. Now see, a simple thing is that one of the views is what Mark's gospel was written first. That was the first gospel written. So, and these are called synoptic gospels because they are all linked together. They are one after the other. So, the commentators presume that Mark has got the correct version of it. Now, another thing is what happens is, suppose when we are telling a story after some time, we say when we talk about something and we don't want to stress, arre itna jaldi ho gaya, so soon it happened, so soon something happened, whereas it must have taken a few years or something. But you know, when we tell something at a later date, not really what is that called, emphasizing on, now that is not an important part of it, like, you know, when it happened or how it happened, that is not important part. So we have gone, so Mark must have told it the correct way, but I imagine said immediately withered here, yeah? One day also is immediately for some people. For a tree to wither, it takes time. It takes at least a month or something. But this thing, whether one day or immediately, is almost the same. So Matthew must have said, oh, wow, it immediately withered. Like, it's a difference, no? Because everybody knows how trees wither. No tree withers overnight. Yeah, it takes time to wither. So this could be a difference, which is not what Jesus wants to tell us.
Yeah.
Now, let us look. Now, see, we are giving you history so that, you know, you understand what we learn. It's not important, but it is good to have a knowledge of things like that. Now fig tree, as I said, I briefly told you last time, the fig is one of the very important fruits of the that time. It is noted for its prosperity. It's a biblical fruit, and the promised land was full of fruits of figs and pomegranates, you know. And when the spies went to the promised land, they brought these fruits back, and figs were one of them. Now, so figs denote peace, prosperity, fertility, and all that. You know, it's the blessings of the. This is a blessed fruit. Now, the tree itself, they call it a handsome tree. It looks good. You know, the trunk is about 3 feet wide. The height is about 20 feet. You know, 20 to 25 feet height, and its span is about 25 to 30 feet. You know, it goes around like that. So it's a nice and shady tree. And normally you find it grown near wells. So where there's water, you know, it gives you a nice shade on the wells, and people are going for a nice shade and a nice drink of water, and that is like a blessing for that. So that is how the fig tree looks like. Now, what is the characteristic of a fig tree? You know, what is the characteristic of ravens? How the tree grows? Like, what happens? Normally you put a seed first, and then you get the leaves, and then you get flowers, and then you get fruits. Is that right? That's the sequence. But in a fig tree, what happens is, first the fruit comes, you know, in its raw form. There are small green knobs which come on the trunk of the tree, the branches of the tree, and those knobs are called magum. Yeah, they were called magum. Right? Now, as the tree, and normally what happens is a fig tree has two major growths. You know, major fruits to fruit bearing season is twice. It starts around April, right? And the fruit is only ripe in June, and the next crop is in September. Now, the harvest feast took place on the 15th of April. That's the time where the normally the harvest feast. The Passover feast takes place. Even this year it is on the 15th of April. It was. Yeah. So now Jesus goes there 1 week before the harvest. That means about 1 week before the 15th. And definitely at that time you cannot expect figs on the tree. You cannot expect ripe figs on a tree. Let's rephrase that. Figs are coming. Figs are first. Along with, after that, the next step is we get leaves, and then the unique part of this fig tree is that the figs, the leaves, and the flowers are all at the same time. We can see them all at the same time when it is in full bloom. That is in the month of June. Now Jesus is passing that side in the month of April, yeah, before the Passover feast. So definitely, 100%, there will be no figs on that tree. There are figs, but they are not ripe. They are not to be eaten. Now this particular fig tree is an exception, because Jesus says that on this particular fig tree there was no figs at all, not even the raw ones. So what could be the reason for that? For there will be no figs at all. Leaves were there,
yeah.
No figs. Now, in a normal tree, you would find leaves. You would find also the half grown, the half ripe fruit. Yeah, it only gets ripe in June. And when it is full bloom, you get a full fig tree. You get the leaves and you get the flowers. But now Jesus is saying he's found a tree with no fig trees, fig leaves at all, with no figs at all. So something is wrong with this tree. Yeah, something is wrong with this tree. It is an abnormal tree. It has not grown in the right way.
No fruits.
Yeah, it has not. At least some fruits should have been there. Nothing is there. He said no. That is why he cursed the tree. Now, this is only an outward version of external way of telling you something internally. This is an external version of telling you a deep meaning, a deep scriptural meaning. Jesus wants to convey something. Now see, it is very unlikely, like we said last time, it is very unlikely of Jesus to do this. But Jesus is a patient God. He is always love. And suddenly he feels hungry, he finds no tree, and he curses the tree. You'll never find Jesus' reaction like this anywhere else, except for this fig tree. So do you think that he has lost his this thing, mind on one word things? No, there was a purpose behind it.
Yes.
Secondly, he was hungry. This is the first time he is doing something selfishly. Selfishly. Now, when he was hungry for 40, for he didn't, he was in the desert for 40 years. He never had any food and water. 40 days. He was so hungry. That time the devil tempted him, turned his stones into bread. He would have done that time. That was the ideal time, an appropriate time for him to say, okay, I'm hungry now, I can't do it. But what he did that time? He said, he rebuked Satan.
Yes.
And he didn't do it. He said, man does not live on bread alone. But then this time, like for one day's hunger probably, he's cursing the fig tree. Very unlike of Jesus, right? Now the reason for all this is that Jesus wants to give you, the people then, he wants to tell them something spiritual. And normally in the past, whenever the prophets want to do something, want to give a loud and clear message, they do something dramatic. Yeah, so that people's eyes will be open. Right? What is happening? This was a dramatic scene that Jesus enacted in person just to drive into the people at that time a message. Yeah.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
So one of the reason could be is that Jesus wants us to die first, die and then give a new life to us, because Jesus knew that this fig tree could not give any fruits even when the season was going to come. And Jesus knows Jesus' presence goes before, so he knows Jesus is mighty, almighty. So he curses because he let the fig tree die, and he wants us in our lives, he wants us to die and have a new life.
Good.
He knows a new life will bloom.
Any other reflections on this one? Why did Jesus curse the fig tree, and what is the resemblance? What is the spiritual? Before Sister Lena takes over,
I feel that we have to be fruitful, like what you there sowing the seeds. What some gave fruits and all this thing. If we are not at all fruitful, you are useless. So useless branches, how in some other this thing is cut out and
yes.
Thrown into the further thing. That kind of message he wants to give. Yeah, if you are useless, you have to be fruitful.
Yeah.
Spiritually also I am talking about. If you are useless, it's better you die.
Correct. Anybody else?
He doesn't want us to be seasonal.
He doesn't want us to be
seasonal. Yeah, he wants us to be, bearing fruit
all the time.
Actually, the reflection what I get through in this is, if you see, here Jesus didn't wanted to tell anyone else except his disciples. He wanted to install faith in them. As he walks with his disciples and he goes to the fig tree, he curses the fig tree knowingly. And he says, with faith, if you do anything, okay, even if you tell a mountain to move itself and throw itself into the sea, it will be done. But you have to have faith in what you are saying. So this, in this example, what I feel is, Jesus wanted to install faith in his disciples.
Because
he's going back from cleansing the temple, there's no one else except his disciples with him. Mm.
Sister?
Yeah. To the fig tree, as brother said, it has a different characteristic altogether, right? First comes the fruit, and then comes the leaves. Okay, spiritually talking of us people, what are we expected? First the gifts or the fruit of the Holy Spirit? What are the fruits?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness,
goodness, all that, right? They are the fruit of the Holy Spirit that grows in us. Yes? And then we are, with these fruits, we are able to give something, you know, out. And show that we are Christians and we are known by our fruit. Yes? And then it's as a symbol of leaves that are full in bloom, right? To be this, you know, I used to wonder, there is just opposite Indian school, Gubra, UK, that is there, no? Some immigration, whatever they are. There is a fig tree there. I used to reach Davina for tuitions, Deepa ma'am there. And I used to wonder, oh, this is fig tree, but why no leaves? I think this fig tree is spoiled or something, because no leaves and the figs are coming little. I wondered that way, okay? But now, as per Jesus here, he's coming to the fig tree and finding no leaves, he just curses the leaves. As told by brother, you mean to say Jesus is so unkind, so rude? Yeah, look at him. He'll just come, because though when he could wait 40 days, he could have just said something, waited something. If not this fig tree, some other fig tree, right? He cannot take a decision for something to be just withered off, because they are all his creation. Yes? And brother also said that, and as it is, even from Jeremiah to the prophets, anything that they had to do, they used to do it symbolically. You know, like Jeremiah used to take the pot and throw it, shatter to the ground. It shows the wrath of the Lord. You know, so it was like that. As brother took you to Mark, I request you, turn your pages to Luke chapter 13, verse 6. Luke 13, verse 6. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." What it is coming back again to? Which tree?
Fig tree.
How many years he has been coming?
3 years.
How many years was the ministry of Jesus?
3 years.
3 years. He's coming out in the open to Israel to tell to bear fruit. Listen to what God wants you to do. Okay? They were all so good with worship, with extra laws, with all that they had to offer. You know, the rules and regulation were tuck to the T. Yes? But fruit of patience, mercy was not seen in them. That is why Jesus had told them, you are so good in giving your one tenth and all, so strong. But apart from them, practice mercy. Practice fruit, but which is not found in you. Yes, you are doing. That is how the cleansing of the temple. You are so angry. You are all to this, you know, but you are not doing what God wants you to do. So I curse you. You are like under the curse of God because you are His favorite child. Children, the parable goes next. You were called first, not the Gentiles, the Jews. You are my children. From you came the Savior. I came from your lineage. Yes, and you don't bear fruit. So you are as good as cursed. And may nothing, you know, may nobody eat fruit of you is like, how do you say, may never any lineage be from you. I am it, that's it, finish, enough for you. Because before that, from David's throne, from Abraham, everything came down, right? After this, may nobody eat your fruit. But the Gentiles who have received the Lord.
Yeah, as we said, now sister has given her reflection, and another angle to look at it is, now that tree is useless. It has not borne fruit and will never bear fruit again. So uselessness always invites disaster. I mean, nobody wants something that is useless. We also throw useless things out. We never keep them. So that is the law. Now if you are a tree bearing, a fruit bearing tree, and you cannot bear the fruit, that means God has given that tree a purpose and that tree is not serving the purpose. We are all fig trees in our own ways. God has given us a purpose, each one of us. And if we do not attain that purpose, if God cannot get the value of the purpose in us, we are cut off. Sorry to say that, you know. We are cut off because we are not good, no good to anyone. So what is the thing that is not good? Now we in a basket of apples, we find one apple rotten. No, there is no way that apple is gone. It's gone. So we remove it and we throw it out, so that the other apples at least will grow properly, right? The same way is us. It's a very frightening message, this one, to open up our eyes. If so far we have, by God's mercy, we are stagnant in one place, and God has not done anything yet, time to get up. Right? Time to get up. No, everyone has been given a purpose. Everyone has been given a talents. Everyone has been given resources, and you got to do it. It reminds me now suddenly of that those people with the talents, how one person with one talent buried it in and lost it. The same thing, we cannot bury our talents. Now even a person who is crippled, even a person who is bedridden, is of use. Tell me how.
Intercessions.
That person, if he intercedes, now there are two ways that person can say, oh, what can I do? God has made me like this. I'm on bed. I can't do anything. No? So if he behaves like that, or he or she behaves like that, he's doomed. But if he says, like, no, yes, God has given me this thing, but I will intercede. I will show patience. How many times we admire people who are sick, who are bedridden, because you find a glow in them, even although they are bedridden. They are not dissing. We are tired. Our faces are drawn. But that face is beautiful. Because why? That patience is showing that the Lord is... And those people are an example for us. So, uselessness invites disaster. The next, another point is what is... Now, this tree. From far, nobody will say it's a withered tree. It's a rotten tree. Yeah, it's not bearing fruit. But the leaves are green. It is full. And it is completely full of things. What does it reflect in our times? So many times we have leaves, you know, we have got the potential, but we are not doing it. So many times we are pretending, you know, we are acting like by doing this and that, but we are not bearing fruits. We are just doing superficially, right? We are just going on life superficially. Now, for example, I may be in church whole day, I may be doing everything so whole day, but I've got no love in my heart, I've got no forgiveness in my heart. I resent my neighbor. So what is that? No, that is not bearing fruit. You have got the leaves, no fruit. You are doing things here and there. You are everywhere, but you have got no fruit. You know. So this is another example, or this is another lesson which we got to learn in this tree parable, right? If the tree had leaves, no fruits. each one of us have to decide, do we have leaves and are just pretending to show outside, or do we have the fruits that God is looking out for? Okay. Then we come to the next, any other doubts about this thing on this one?
Or any reflection.
Reflections on this one? Please.
That's nice to share.
Because basically, we may be outwardly good or whatever it is, spiritually and socially, we should be fruitful.
Fruitful.
Otherwise, we are better.
Yes, yes.
I mean, as per him, better not be there.
Yeah. Love is very important.
Yes.
Because comes from your heart.
Now, so many times you'll find people saying, "No, see, I am not doing anything good. I'm not hurting anybody. I am on my own." God has not called you to be on your own. God has called you to be a help to the others, to help others. So that attitude also is absolutely wrong. No, I'm alone in myself. That's the wrong attitude as well. You are not producing anything. God has not created anybody as individuals. God has created people to be in the society, in the community, you know, so you should be a part and parcel of it. And that attitude, many people have got it. I'm self-sufficient. I don't want to have anything.
I'm not harming anyone.
Yes, I'm not harming, yeah.
That word comes when you're harming anyone. People are saying like that.
Yeah, but then you're not doing also anything. What good are you doing? What is your...
They are thinking that they are doing good.
No, that is the wrong thing, you know, that's why we have to do it.
Comes to judgment before God, no? He said, may you never eat of this tree, or may you never bear fruit. Immediately the tree withered, or in Mark you see it withered from the roots. It's to say, you are cut out.
Cut out.
Enough. I have given you, like I took you to Luke, where he speaks about the same fig tree.
Three years.
3 years, it's not one. It's the matter, three is complete, you know, a long, long here time of
enough
and more time I have given you to improve. You are good for nothing. It's like that.
No, but there's one more, what is called characteristic of that fig tree is that it starts bearing your fruit after 3 years. First fruit is after 3 years. Like how the coconut, after 11 years something they say, the coconut bears the fruit. You know, but the fig tree bears the first fruit after 3 years. And after that it is continuous. At least two this thing, and then it continues. Now see, in that, going back to this chapter of Luke, no? They have not told what happened after that. Right? Did the fig tree bear or did it not? I just got that thing right now.
I have been coming to look for it here, no?
Yeah.
See, a man had fig tree, so he said to the man who takes care, for 3 years now I have been coming to the fig and found, cut it down. Why should I use this soil, Sir, man replied, and then... If it bears fruit, it's not, then cut it down.
Yeah, okay. If not, but we don't know after that.
No, but what I'm telling, taking back them again, could be, it is not an instant thing what the Lord said. Could be the same fig tree, and it is Israel what he's talking about. The resemblance I'm trying to tell you. 3 years, now 3 years I've been the same pastor, same things happening. First time when he began his ministry, where it is in the first time in the ministry, he began the cleansing and he took the whip, and that was not first, this is not the first time he cleansed the temple, okay? The first time when he entered in his ministry, he drove that, he did the same thing, and it still continues. People don't have that zeal of keeping, of being in awe and knowing what a house of prayer or where what God is, wanting of the people. So he's trying the cleansing. 3 years he has come. He's finding the same thing. So now he says, enough. And that's how, the Jewish, that it shows Israel, how it was like, is as good as a fig tree, not necessary. Others will do the job.
Yeah, we just reflected on our part. But now that what sister said is right. Now Israel, Now God had chosen Israel as a chosen nation, only for one purpose, to bring his son into the world. He chose Israel just so that nation, that will be holy, that his son could enter into this world. Now his son entered into the world, but that same nation is against the son. He wants to kill the son. You understand? So this parable is basically for that, to show that, so that means you are useless. You don't know what God wants from you, and you are in fact killing what God has sent to you. That is the main reason that time, but now this is the reason for us now, to reflect whether... what are we? Are we a fig tree with figs, or are we only leaves and no figs inside? Yeah? And maybe that many of us are only leaves and no figs at the moment. But then when we understand, when we open our eyes, now is the time God is giving us a chance to grow fruits. Let that, put that manure around that fig tree so that it grows, so that God is saying, okay, I will not cut you down. I'll give you one more year to improve yourself. That Luke message, let us take it literally into us, you know. We have not borne fruit still now. God will forgive you because we don't know it. So today we know it. So God will say, okay, from today I'll give you 1 year. Yeah? Grow your fruits.
Here, in this case, this man who asked for one more year, maybe intercessor.
Yeah, you could.
Because
yeah.
He's saying, no, stop your wrath. Yes. Give one more chance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice example of an intercessor, actually. Also, you know. Then we go to the second part of the thing, is the prayer. Is the faith, what brother pointed out there. The next part we'll go to is the faith. Now what is God saying? Now we come to the technicality of that withering away. How did this happen?
I would like to add one more thing to my reflection. If you read before this, Jesus on third time he tells them about his death. Now he wants to instill faith in his disciples, saying, okay, with faith, if you ask for anything, it shall be done. He just wants to install that faith in them because he knows that now he'll be leaving them and going, and his ministry is to be carried out by his disciples.
Yes.
So I feel this was a perfect example to show his disciples with faith and without any doubt in your mind, if you command anything in my name or in God's name, it shall be done.
Yes.
So that they can create, they can show miracles. Like if you go into Acts, Peter had so much power that by his shadow people used to get healed.
Exactly.
Yeah. So he just wanted to bring faith in them so that even after Jesus goes away, they still strive hard to flourish the ministry.
Exactly.
Just want to add up that I'm just trying to think as you said that we are called to bear fruits, and just trying to focus, I've been called to bear fruits, and here we see Jesus cursing the withered tree, and because there's no fruit, and in our lives sometimes there are so many unwanted withered fruits, like there is lust, there is gossip, there is criticizing, there is so many anger, there is that, so many things are there. So I was just thinking, after that, when Jesus is cursing that tree, and then the end, whatever you ask for it in prayer, because in faith you will receive it. And there's one more verse which came in my mind in Matthew's Gospel. Every plant which my Heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. So maybe we could bring our lives, pray and ask the Lord to cut off those fruits, which is those... what do you call the trees which is not the fruits which has not been bearing in our life, like these kind of the unwanted fruits, and take it in prayer, and maybe God will turn those things into a good fruits.
Exactly. You're absolutely right, because that goes into the second classification of a tree where you have leaves, but you have got the wrong, these are things that are not fruits, these are things that drains the tree of its life. You know, so you're right.
He was happy with the leaves.
Yes.
We are happy, but with wrong fruits. So that's how it is. And here it further goes to, you're taking that. I tell you the truth which brother spoke. Even if he's telling now how it happened, how did this fig tree wither so quickly? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and you do not doubt, yes. And this thing, they were slow to understand. He did, that is why he spoke mostly parents. They wondered, what are you talking? So he had to explain to them next day what happened, why it is in parables and like that. But now at the moment, the scene, what they see is, it happened withered. You mean to say this is the first miracle he's doing? That he's telling them you need to have faith. He told them even of the mustard seed. He told them again of the mountain there. But now here he is in a different sort of anger. With that he has done there. Curse that tree. This is the first time he is cursing it. Otherwise, he has always given life. Yeah? But so it was symbolic. But he is telling them, if you have faith, even you can do this. You know, if that person is a block to you to proclaim God, just tell that block, get out and throw yourself. He's talking about a sea that he could see from that Mount Olives there. And what was the sea that he could see from there? Which is the sea there? Dead Sea. Okay? Dead Sea, is it productive?
No.
Is a Dead Sea productive?
No.
No. So if you tell, throw yourself into that Dead Sea, that mountain is a block. Yes? You are good for nothing. Right? Throw yourself in that garbage box. And please get out of my way. Dead Sea is Dead Sea. Yes? So your place is where? Dead Sea. So if you have faith, you can do anything. You just have to ask. Tell it to the Father. Father, this is a block which I am incurring in my ministerial walk of life. So that you are glorified. You can command, order it to be moved and go to its right place. As brother said, every plant that is not planted by my Father will be uprooted. Yes? So you have the authority. Use it.
Now again, this particular passage says, you tell your mountain to move and it will move. Now this cannot be taken sort of literally. For example, even in Jesus' life or anywhere in the world, we have never seen so far somebody telling a mountain move and it has gone. No, it is not a thing that has to be done. It is talking to you about your inner self. There are so many mountains in your life. Yeah, and what Jesus is saying, you know, he says, tell this mountain. Now, what is this meaning of telling this mountain? It is actually telling you to go into prayer. How do we move mountains? Through prayer, through faith, through this thing. So, in other words, Jesus is saying that you can do anything. You can do anything if you are praying about it, if you are doing something about it. Now, when we pray, what does prayer actually do, Prayer gives us the ability to do something. Prayer gives us the ability to do something. Prayer doesn't make God do things. Prayer is not making God do things for you. But prayer is making God give you the ability to do something. The prayer gives you the power. You have to do it. You have to do it. When things happen, God will not automatically come and intervene with you and do it He may do that once in a way, but He will give you the power. Suppose there is a mountain in your life. There is something that you are afraid of. Lord, help me to take this mountain off. So God will give, your prayer gives God the ability, gives God the grace to give you the ability. Now you will throw that mountain out. You, with your added gift, will throw the mountain out. Now if prayer was just asking God and forgetting about it, we would all be lazy people, no? We would just say, oh, go God, do this thing, and we would just be sleeping out. And it is complete opposite. But we pray, and we do our work again. We go back to our thing, and God, in his due time, makes you get rid of that thing. So, in other words, this thing helps you to pray. With that prayer, you can move mountains. With prayers, you can move mountains. By just like, suppose you don't pray to the Lord. You just say, mountain, get up, you will not go. Who is the one who is doing it? You are doing it with the capability of the Father. You are doing it with the power of the Father. This comes through prayer. So prayer is His power. Then prayer also gives you the possibility, the ability to accept. Now look at things very differently. Has every prayer of yours been answered in the world?
No.
Never. We have prayed for so many people not to die, and the person has died and gone. Yeah? God's will and God knows the plan. So prayer doesn't really tell you every time what to do, or God gives you victory in every situation. You will have to face it. So what does prayer actually do? Prayer actually gives you the ability to accept things. Now, what is a perfect example for this? Now, in the gospel, we see that Paul says, he had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed. He prayed for that thorn to be removed. But God did not remove that thorn. What he told him? My grace is sufficient for you. So he gave that Paul's prayer gave him the power to accept it. And that acceptance turned into glory. Yeah? So you understand what prayer does. Prayer gives you the ability to do something by the power of the Lord. Prayer gives you the ability to accept You know, now take an example. You have a death in the family. You've been praying years and all, and suddenly, but that, why the prayers have not been answered, but that person died. Now, what God, your prayer has done is, having the faith in the Lord, person is gone, but God has given you the ability to accept the situation. Yeah. Another good example of prayer is of acceptance is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He also prayed that Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass of me. But not Father's will. However, let your will be done and not mine. So, and that then the angels came to him, and then Jesus accepted it. And that exception after his prayer turned into glory. Yeah. And what the prayer does, the prayer gives you the ability to bear the consequences. Like whatever happens, like if there is, as I told you, if there's a tragedy in your house, if something has happened, your prayer is not answered, that doesn't mean that God has not answered your prayer. But God has got his own ways and own ways of ruling. But he will give you the grace, he will give you the strength to accept this without being bitter.
Just, I know time is running out. To every promise, you think promises just come? Like when I tell my daughter, okay, I'm going to give you a box of chocolate for nothing.
The reward.
She has to meet my condition. Yes. Yeah. To every promise, there is a condition applied. Jesus doesn't tell, okay, I'll do this for you. You are blessed. You are this. No, there is a condition to be followed. Right? Now, sometimes always wonder if your prayers are not being answered. Check out where you are gone wrong. Either the prayer is not proper or there is something lacking in you. When he tells, I want you, go, take the word. Go to Mark and the same chapter of the fig tree. Mark chapter 11 verse 22. Yes. Have faith in God. Jesus answered, have faith in your Father. He will do it. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into that sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. What is the condition? Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you pray, saying that word, and when you stand in prayer, praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. You know, we want to show the leaves and the fruits of our tree. And we try doing so many things. Yes? But we have, you know, that log in our own eyes, and we try to remove specks from other eyes and think that that's a big log and I am a speck. Yes, we try to move the mountain when we are a block to that person must be. Yes, so when you are trying to get that obstacle out of your way, if that brother and sister or if that situation is an obstacle and you are praying to the Lord and in his name that be moved and that be done to that person, check out yourself. Are you right in the sight of God? First, that is the first condition. Because he talks about prayer. When you pray, when you stand in prayer, and when you in prayer tell that mountain to be moved. Okay? Prayer is just not, I understand God has given all the authority and grace to pray. No, it's not one statement what he's talking about. He speaks when he comes about in prayer. His prayer life also has been persistent. There is a constant consistency in his prayer of early, of being in time to prayer, of having communion with the Lord. You know, and he tells about the parable of that lady who, you know, the person who knocks on the door. He speaks about that lady who's asking for authority to this and all. He's speaking about, he tells of perseverance. He tells, if not for this man's sake of getting up and giving bread in the night, at least for perseverance sake, God will do it. There should be perseverance, okay? So when you stand in prayer, to move a mountain is not easy. Even to dig it, it takes, you know, if you cannot cross the mountain, they say, at least by your prayer, you'll make a tunnel so that you can pass through it, okay? So when you stand in prayer, is there any obstacle in your life? Dear brothers and sisters, check out. before I pray for another brethren, if he is a block to me, am I a block to that person? Yes, ask of the Lord to reveal to you, Lord, teach me, Lord, whether I am capable of that prayer. And then you can move mountains and put it in its place. Because the other person can be praying the same for you to be moved and thrown into the sea. Understood? And it's not happening because God is merciful. He loves both of you.
Okay, it's time up, so we shall... Father God, we thank, we praise and thank you for teaching us a lesson, Father, through this fig tree. You have taught us, Father God, to be genuine and not superficial. Father, we ask you forgiveness if we have not borne fruits so far, or if we have borne little fruits compared to what capacity you have given us. We pray, Father, this evening that you give us the grace to meditate on our lives, to see the areas that we have not grown. And we ask you forgiveness, Father God, for the past life that we have led, whereby we have not been fruitful. And we pray, Father, that you use us now. Teach us, Lord God, pour in the manure around us so that we may be able to bear good fruits now and always. Father, as our team goes to the hospitals, we send forth your spirit in advance there, so that as the team goes, your word will be released and they will be healed, Lord. You sent your word and healeth our disease, is what the scripture says, Lord God. And Lord, we believe, Lord God, as we are we are praying for them continuously, we believe, oh Lord God, that the healing has taken place. And that every patient there, Lord God, is healed in accordance to your great will and timing. And Lord, we thank you for giving us this grace to have this session this evening. And we pray, Father God, that you give us the grace to live a good and holy life this week. And we meet next Friday for the continuation of your word, Lord God, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end. Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
And all God's children say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for reading that passage and coming. It showed that all read the passage today.